Good morning. It's that time again. Our adult class starts this morning. This is the last class in a series we've been teaching on God's peace. In fact, we started, all the way back in March, and we've talked a little bit about what the peace of God is. We've talked about why God calls himself the God of peace and his son the Prince of Peace. We've talked about how we find peace with God. We've talked about peace of the heart, which is really about how do we deal with guilt. We've talked about peace of the mind, which is how do we deal with worry and anxiety. We've talked about peace of what I call peace of the soul, which is how do we fight against depression. We've talked about peace at home, peace at work, peace in our finances. And today I made an executive decision. The last session was supposed to be peace during hard times. But as I mentioned, this was a 13-week series that I created. And because of my trip to India and things like that, we're only doing, we only did 10 weeks of it. So I decided that we would do peace in our community today because I find it to be an extremely timely topic. As I mentioned, that these programs, as soon as I get a chance to kind of clean them up a little bit, we'll put them up on the website with the materials and all of the, I record these, so they'll all be available. And then sometime over the next couple weeks, I hope to record the last three, which would be Peace During Hard Times, Peace in the Age of Violence, and Sharing God's Peace. So those hopefully will be available soon, and we'll put that in the bulletin so that you have that information. Fair enough? And today is the last one that I'll be teaching. I think Jan actually will start next week, and I'm not sure his topic, actually. He'll be here, I'm sure, this morning. We'll make sure we get that. We'll get that to you. So let's begin with a word of prayer, please. Our Father and Lord, as we come to you this morning, we thank you for this day, for a chance to come together again on the Lord's Day to share with each other, hold close to each other, remember that we are the family and that we're part of a kingdom that's much larger than this world. Father, we're thankful that you sent your son for us, and it's only through your son that we can find peace. Father, we thank you for the participation and interest in this class, and thank you for what you've taught us about your unique peace. Thank you, God, for this morning, and we ask your blessings on our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as always, I always struggle with how do you get this started in a way that's meaningful and interesting. And so I'm going to ask you to think about something for a second, but we're not going to talk about it right away. Hear that, Joe? We're not going to talk about it right away. So I'm going to ask you to think about something, maybe even jot it down, remember it, because I'm going to come back to it, but I want to do it now. At the beginning, okay? So here's the question I have for you. If you only had one thing to say to a non-believer about Christianity, only one opportunity to influence them, what would you say? I'm going to say it again. If you only had one thing to say to a non-believer about Christianity, only one opportunity to influence them, what would you say? So think about that for a minute, okay? And we'll come back to it, I promise. So here's a topic this morning that we're going to focus a little bit on, which is how do I live at peace with others with whom I disagree? Do you find this a challenge in today's world? How do you live at peace with others with whom you disagree? I don't know about you, but my perception is that in my lifetime, I hate when old people say this, and I'm one of those old people saying it at this point, but in my lifetime, I don't remember a time that's quite as divisive, thank you, divisive as it is today. I just don't remember that. Now, maybe there's been, and I'm sure, I haven't lived nearly as long as Earl, because Earl can remember back to Roman times, right? So he can remember what was going on back then. I'm not quite that old. I'm just back to the, yeah. Yeah, well, so the idea being, you know, do you think this is a challenge? We've talked about how peace, and because we've got some visitors today, let me just recap a couple quick things. The kind of core message of this class has been that, you know, God promises us peace. And we've used Philippians 4:4-8 basically is the core theme. God promises peace. But the first point we tried to make for the first couple weeks is, but the peace that he promises isn't the same peace that the world seeks. Right? Because, ironically, we can have peace when there's war. We can have peace when there's violence. We can have peace during anything because of what God has promised us. We also suggested in this class, which may be a little bit different than what you've heard before, that God didn't promise us peace that we would never have a problem, never have an issue, never have an illness, never have financial trouble, never have marital problems. He never promised us that. What he promised us was a way to find peace during that. And we've talked a lot about those issues and those concerns. Fair enough? It's kind of setting the ground there again. But it seems that there's so much angst, so much disagreement, so much anger today. Yes? Yes? We've kind of stopped giving each other the benefit of the doubt. We seem to broad brush everything these days. Have you noticed this? It's like, he is always wrong, whoever he is. We could pick he, it doesn't matter. Or she is always wrong, although that's much rarer. or maybe she is always right. That's much more likely. you know, they all think this way. Those who watch this news station or that news station are, fill in the blank, whatever you think, right? All fill in the blanks or fill in the blank. You know, we have this mindset today, it seems, that in general, the world has kind of got caught up in this divisiveness. Comments, thoughts, emotional outbursts about that? Yeah.
In India, you know, where our missionary is, isn't it hard to prepare the people as far as tensity and all this kind of thing? Because I'm thinking that there's a technical world and too much of this, and I'm thinking over in India, it's a little more peaceful except for the war.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think your point is partly right. I mean, and if you're referring to our children, yeah, I mean, the children at Angel's Place, and for those that are visiting, one of the things this congregation has been involved in for 10 or 12 years is supporting a ministry, supporting 160 children in India. And I've had the chance to go over there two or three times, four times actually, now I think about it. And there is a different set of issues. I mean, they're not wrestling with the same things we might be here in the United States, some of the political unrest and issues associated with that. But I will say, there's just as much, if not more, prejudice there. Because, you know, our children have a tendency to look like they're Chinese, not just Indian, and that's kind of the lowest of the low, unfortunately, in those communities. You know, so there's a lot of things like that that are there, but I don't know, I think it's just becoming, we are so good at finding fault and judging others. In fact, I think that might be our national pastime at this point. Finding fault and judging others. It used to be baseball. Those were simpler times. But now that seems to be what we get caught up in. Would you agree? I see a few heads, you know. And those of you that don't, I think, no, I'm kidding. That was to make my point, right? Let me prove it to you, though. So you're driving down the road, and you see a bumper sticker on the person in front of you. Okay? Now, maybe it's a political bumper sticker for something you stand against. So maybe it's a candidate or, right? How do you instantly feel? Be honest.
It's a struggle, right?
Wish I had a push bar.
What?
Wish I had a push bar in front of the truck.
Wish I had a push bar. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, there is this, all of a sudden, whoever's in that car must be an idiot, right? Must be uneducated or uninformed or unenlightened or pick it. Right?
It's kind of interesting. They could be political, but they could also be religious. Have you ever seen the coexist? Right? What's the message behind coexist, that bumper sticker? If you have not seen it, it uses a series of religious symbols to spell the word coexist. You know, everything from, obviously, the T is the cross, but you'll see everything else. You know, you'll see Islam symbols, you'll see this symbol, that symbol, and, you know, coexist. Got an instant reaction to that?
That's cool.
I mean, honestly, a lot of us will say we do have an instant reaction to that. Or even, it's remarkable to me how quickly something like that can just change my whole day. You know, because now I'm starting to think about, why would that person feel this way or think about this or do that? Or maybe I'm unique in that, but it seems to be kind of common. I was at a dinner recently, and there was a friend there that I hadn't seen in a while, and after dinner, we decided we'd hang around and start talking a little bit. What a mistake, because this individual had some very strong beliefs about certain things, and as you'll hear me say a little later, too, there are certain conversations I just won't get engaged in. And when he wouldn't and couldn't engage me in those conversations, then all of a sudden I became this idiot. He even said that at one point in the conversation. Because if you don't stand this way, then how could you be this way? And how could you do this and how could you do that? We even got into India, you know, and we were talking about the ministry there. And he asked me a question. He said, you know, do you try to save the souls of those children? Or do you try to feed them? And my answer was, yes. And he was extremely offended by that. Because his view, now he's not accurate in this view, but his view was, we're holding their food captive until we save their soul. We've never done that. But he wouldn't hear that, right? So just an example. Maybe you've had those kind of conversations yourselves where these kind of things go on and on. And I could tell you that some of you probably in this room, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and talk about it, but have already jumped to a conclusion to why it's happening, and there is a specific person you're blaming, right? And I agree. Satan.
Cool job, isn't that?
But I really think there is something going on here where Satan is using this time that we've got and this place that we've got and this situation we find ourselves in to really start to shape us to be not inclusive or not reaching out to each other, but pushing each other away. I think Satan's being pretty powerful in this. I think it's one of the ways for me on a day-to-day basis that my peace gets sapped. I allow my peace, God's peace, to get sapped. You know what I mean? Again, what is it that when I pull up behind somebody and they've got that bumper sticker and all of a sudden I get anxious, what is it about a bumper sticker that would cause that? What do you think of Terry? Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. I mean, it is so easy in our society, we're even trained in our society, particularly I think Americans, to say it's somebody else's problem, they're infringing on me. So how do we address this issue? Jan?
Well, number one, Americans have to realize that this is not unique to America. In my lifetime, Germany, Spain, Czechoslovakia, Bosnia, Cambodia,
I think you're right. And I think, thank you for sharing that. The interesting point here is this is a condition of man. This is, I think, when Satan leverages us different times, different places, different situations that we find ourselves in. But let me ask you this. This is a class about peace. So the question becomes, how do we find peace in this divisive world? How can we live at peace in a world that's full of sinners? Yeah, but I know, but for some reason in these conversations, our sin's different than theirs. Judge not. I mean, do you get the point? Hopefully, I'm trying to make the point that, you know, what about those people that aren't living the way God expects them to live? Whatever that might be. They're liars, they're slanderers, they're betrayers, they're deniers of God's plan, they're cheats, they're boastful, they're angry. What do we do in that situation? What did Jesus do in that situation? Because ironically, let's look at these 12 people that were the closest to him. They were liars, they were cheats, they betrayed him, they were deceitful. Interesting, isn't it? I think in this context, and I'm going to leverage Terry's comment, the way we live at peace in this divisive world is we have to be peacemakers. Is that biblical? Sermon on the Mount. Who preached the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus, that's right. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Peacemaker. You think of yourself as a peacemaker? I'm going to read to you from... this is a little lengthy, but it's important. This is Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to each of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's believing, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Oh, here's long. Sorry. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice in those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, said the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me give a comment, then I'll get you, Joe, okay? Promise. What do you think? Do you see a pattern in what Paul was teaching there? Joe?
If you do all those things, your last name is Christ and your first name is Jesus. And nobody else is going to be able to do all those things that you know what I'm saying? You wrote in there. Gotta be Jesus for
But let's talk about that for a second. First of all, I didn't write it. Paul wrote it. God inspired it. And God said, do these things. So I get your point that none of us are that good, right? None of us are that pure.
It's a good thing. In that mindset. Good. I read that, and it's good for people to desire and try to do those things.
Yeah.
But let's face it. Well, I know that there's no way I can do all those things.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't say, I can do all things that I think I can accomplish through Christ who gives me strength. So we got to be careful. I get your point, and I'm not trying to soft sell it. But a lot of times we make a decision, I can't do this, therefore it's okay for me not to. That's... You didn't say that. You're right. You didn't say that. Because you said try. And that's the critical element here. Let me read you another scripture. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and secure, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's from James 3, 17 and 18. Being a peacemaker. I'm curious, do you consider yourself a peacemaker? Is that the way you live life? To bring peace? Because, I don't know, I think it is so easy today to be exactly the opposite of that. Because everybody else is. I knew I wouldn't get quite as much conversation as I normally do this week because of this topic, but yeah, go ahead.
If you consider what we're struggling to do here, if you look at yourself with sober judgment and realize that, yes, I'm a man who's well acquainted with violence. I'm a man who's well acquainted with this must be done this way, and if you don't do it this way, I will ensure that it is either done this way or you're not able to do anything else. Knowing my propensity for that and looking at myself with sober judgment and being told to do something other than what is normal to me, if I soberly and honestly judge myself, who's in the wrong here? Okay, take a step back, give us another shot, try to live in peace with people. You're doing this wrong.
I appreciate your perspective there. Thank you for that. Sober judgment. You know, the reason why I wanted to choose this topic, first of all, I think it's timely, but secondly, we have got to a point, to Terry's earlier point, where it is so easy to blame our behavior on somebody else's behavior. The only time we're allowed to be intolerant is when somebody else is intolerant. That's interesting. You know, we model the same behavior because they're intolerant, therefore we must be. Some of that's good, some of that's not. I don't know. I get kind of confused about it. But the interesting thing here is, I think at least one way we can begin to live at peace with others who don't agree with us is to try to be a peacemaker. Our behaviors... We're the ones that control our behaviors. We control what we say. We control what we tell other people. We control what those interactions are. Jan?
Matthew 10, 34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace by sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
What do you think that means?
I think it means exactly what it says.
So do you think that means that he is projecting and suggesting that what Jesus is bringing is conflict into the world around things that don't matter? Some of us, I think, use that scripture to say, hey, you know what it means is we should all be arguing about things because, I was going to do this later, but let me do it now. When those of you that were here at the beginning, I asked you to do something very specific, right?
I ask you to answer a question for me. Those of you that weren't here quite at that moment, you can still think about this question. Here's the question I've got for you. Make sure I read it correctly here. If you have only one thing to say to a non-believer about Christianity, only one opportunity to influence them, what would you say? And this is going to sound like it's diverting, but this is part of the point. What would you say? Let's hear your answers. Yeah, Larry?
I've been there. I know the road you're on right now. There's a way out of it.
Okay. So you would say, I know where you are. I've been there. There's a way out. Thank you. Others?
Jesus loves you and he gave his life for you.
Jesus loves you and he gave his life for you. Thank you. Others?
Yeah.
For decades at camp, I always told them the same thing because I would have kids who perhaps it's the only time they worry about the classroom. And I always tell them that God is good.
God is good, he wants good things for you, and she gives the contrast then of there's somebody out to get you. I'm sure that went over great with these little kids. What? But it's an important message, yeah, I get it. What else? Anything else?
Well, I have to say Christianity is good for you.
Christianity is good for you. I like that, it's simple, it's short, focused. Others? Go ahead.
No matter what you've done, it can be forgiven.
No matter what you've done, it can be forgiven. How come I didn't hear any of you talk about, let me just make sure I get my list right here. Dancing. Or music and worship. Or one cup. Or head covering. Or the woman's role. Or central government. Or role of elders. Or evangelists being ordained. Or the stance on divorce, or abortion, or gay marriage, or are those important issues? Sure. Are they the core issue? No. So when I go back to the scripture that Jan talked about in Matthew, what's going through my head is Jesus is saying, I'm going to touch people at the core, and some people aren't going to like the core. Some people in your family aren't going to like the core. Is that true? In your family? Some people are going to be so anxious and upset about that it's going to be at the core. Have you ever wondered why Jesus, who lived in a time of great inequities, didn't tackle any of them directly? Maybe he solved them all, but he didn't tackle them. Let me give you an example. Was there slavery when Jesus was around? Was there mistreatment of women when Jesus was around? How about poverty? Illness? Crooked government? Yeah? Now, in a way, we can say Jesus solved all those problems, right? Because he set us all free. You know, we were all slaves to sin. We can talk about, and we're, particularly those of us that are well-versed in Bible speak can kind of walk our way through that. But isn't it interesting, you don't hear Jesus standing up and doing a sermon on most of those topics. He's focused on something else. Was his mission to get rid of the abomination of slavery? No. Did he? Well, yes, because of his son. But do you see my point here? Right? I mean, there are some horrible, horrible things going on in this world. But I'm struggling with, sometimes we've become so focused on some of them that we've forgotten the core message. That's why I kind of asked you at the beginning, what was your thought about what the core message might be? Now, there's an interesting message, right? Right? And he didn't say what was right, what was wrong in that context, right? And again, don't misunderstand me, and please, nobody walk out saying, well, he doesn't think this is an important topic or that's an important topic or whatever. What I'm saying is, how do we become peacemakers in this world? I think maybe to focus on the one thing, that one message, because we get distracted by all the others. But the world's dealing with all that stuff. Let the world deal with all that stuff, is one thought. Sure. I haven't thought about that in a long time, yeah.
Yes, and that's what we need to do.
Mm.
We need to look at that and say, yeah, that's where we need to go.
But you know what? We're Americans, right? And as Americans, we have certain rights. And we have the right to say what we want to believe, and we have the, which is absolutely true. Right? We do have those rights. And we are fine taking care of those rights. Yeah. Sure. I mean, do you think, you know, you always see these pictures of St. Peter, right? St. Peter. He was one of many saints, of several of which are in the room here. But when you think about Peter, you see him there with his ledger. Where do you normally see St. Peter with his ledger? At the gates of heaven, right? And of course, what he's going down the list of saying, okay, so let me make sure. Were you Republican or Democrat? Or independent, or what was your feeling on this individual or that individual, or this perspective or that? You think that's what he's doing? Again, I'm not suggesting that there aren't rights and wrongs and a lot of really crazy stuff going on, but I'm getting myself to think about, I'll just say it that way, what I'm getting myself to think about is, how do I, in this context, first of all, hold my own peace that God's given me. Secondly, be willing to share peace that God's given me, but be a peacemaker. I mean, even these amazing rights that we have as Americans, there's nobody else, in my opinion, that's ever had that kind of freedom. However, there's still injustice going on. There's still all kinds of issues, right? But sometimes we get in these conversations thinking about, because I'm an American, and we forget, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know the song, right? And what's the point? My citizenship is somewhere else. And I know that's hard. I mean, thankfully, we have the rights of an American. Thank goodness we do. And the things that we can do and how we do it. But that's not the core, right? That's the hard part. I think it's really, really tough. Couple other thoughts, and then I'll just I want to summarize this whole class and this whole series. But there's only one peace that's going to last. There will be other wars. There will be, I mean, as long as time is, right? There will be other people that are mistreated. There will be people that are, you know, even Jesus said there'll always be poor. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be helping poor. I'm not suggesting that. But, you know, how do you become a peacemaker in these times? I wonder sometimes if we lose our influence with people because of the other stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because they automatically have a viewpoint of me because of something else. They may never listen to me about what's really important. I was telling Christine on the way here, you know, a couple weeks ago I mentioned I was considering a new job, by the way. I'm going to start a new job in a couple weeks. I know it's crazy, 57 starting a new job, but hey, you know, whatever.
where was I going with it? Like I said, 57, right? Yeah. Thank you. And I shared with a friend of mine about this, you know, that I was going to do that. Her first response was congratulations. Her second response was, can I have your clients? You know, because I have a consulting business, and thankfully I'm taking the clients with me. But, you know, the issue, the first thing that went through my mind was, I would never give my client to you. And it had nothing to do with, I mean, she may be very good, but the way that she presents herself in social environments and social engagements and the confrontation nature that she has, I wouldn't do that to my client, right? I wonder at times if we don't bump up against that same thing. Peacemakers. Someone may not see Jesus because they see something else. I just don't want to waste my influence on something else. I'm not suggesting those something else's aren't important. I'm just saying make a conscious choice about that. Think about that a little bit. Jesus welcomes sinners without accepting the sin. You know, I'm going to read to you as we conclude this part, and then I'm going to do a quick summary. From 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. And maybe I'm misunderstanding this. Maybe I'm misunderstanding. But this is Paul. And he says, though I am free and I belong to no one, I'm starting in verse 19 of chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I've become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I've become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those having the law, I became like one, I'm sorry, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, although I'm free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. I've heard it said, I've said it myself a lot, you can't be all things to all people. Well, probably right. But Paul said, there's something bigger here, and some of these other issues, political, even religious differences, I'm doing what I need to do to get the core message out. Then he dealt with the other stuff. So, in this class, over the last several weeks, we've attempted to talk about peace in a lot of different contexts. I just want to do a real quick 4 minute and 38 second summary of that. And talk about what I learned out of this, just very quickly, okay? The first thing is that the first week was on the introduction and, you know, what is the peace of God? Why do we seek it? What saps it from us? And what I learned is that God's peace is not the same peace as what the world seeks, but it should be what they seek. It's different. We talked about the God of peace, you know, who is Jehovah Shalom, who is the Prince of Peace. Is he a God of anxiety, of frustration, of worry, of conflict? No. In fact, he describes his nature as peace. And his desire for us is peace. We talked about how to find peace with God, and we realized that we could not. We talked a little bit about how, you know, when people are fighting, you know, there's always a sacrifice. Whoever loses kind of has to have a sacrifice of something. Maybe it's their freedom or maybe it's whatever to the other person. In this case, it was exactly the opposite, because we could not provide the right kind of sacrifice, so he did, to provide that peace. We talked about what I call the peace of heart, which is what can I do with this guilt? And we talked about how you can admit it and forget it.
You can't do it the other way around. You got to admit it and forget it. And we referenced back to Philippians 4:4, where it says, prayer by prayer and petition. We talked about peace of mind. How do we get rid of anxiety? And hopefully we realized it's rejoicing, it's worship that gets you through anxiety. As soon as I can open up and say, God, you are in control of all things, how mighty you are, all of a sudden, why am I anxious? We talked about peace of soul, which we talk about depression. Critical issue these days. Critical issues these days. I fell asleep last night, as I normally do, on the couch. Woke up at 2:30 in the morning, and there was a preacher, you know, on television talking about depression. And he made the point that we did, which is so many of us are depressed because we focus on us. And when we can focus on others, service to others, maybe a solution to find peace even in depression. Peace at home, we talked about how through our spouses and our children, we need to treat them as Christ treated the church. Peace at work, we talked about how sometimes we get our career confused with our life's mission. We might need to separate that. We talked about peace in finances, how God says, think about the needs of others first. I'll take care of it. We didn't talk about peace in hard times, but what I will talk about and report is about claiming the promises that God has. I got this great little book that says the promises of God. And all it does by topic is it just lists scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Worn out. Love that book. We talked about peace in our community, which I think is about being a peacemaker. Peace in the age of violence. I think the only solution to find peace there is to realize this world's not my home. And then lastly, sharing God's peace is about living a life of peace, demonstrating what peace means, helping other people see the peace of God. I love what Larry said. I've been where you are. Let me help you. There's peace in that. There's an opportunity there. Questions, concerns, emotional outbursts at the end? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss class. Father and Lord, as we come to you this morning, we pray specifically today that you make us peacemakers, because those are children of God. Father, we pray for ourselves to help us find the peace that you've laid there for us. And thank you, God, for Philippians 4. Help us, God, to recognize and to hold closely to the joy that we have and the opportunity we have to share our prayers and petitions with you. The opportunity we have to think about those things that are positive, those noble and right and wonderful things. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that you've made to us and for us so that we can have peace with you. We're no longer your enemy. Help us, Father, to relish that peace, to live in peace, to share that peace, to be peacemakers. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for all your participation in class, guys, over the last few weeks.
Careful, listen to Caleb.
Just one second. I gotta save this thing if I can remember how to do it. Every week I forget, so I gotta remember. Okay, so if I stop.